We're on side three of our tape for the meeting of March the 3rd.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gary Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any problem with this. I think with getting rid of the word requiring would certainly satisfy any concerns I have with the bill. I don't think the bill, just like in automobiles and real property, isn't going to assure everybody in the state of Alaska that owns a mobile home isn't going to be some shady characters out there that will sell and won't follow the proper paperwork that's required to assure that when someone does buy a home that they are in fact getting actual title and unclouded title. So I would just make an amendment to the bill. I'd just like to see an amendment to the title, and I would move an amendment to change the line one, page one, to an act relating to a mobile home owner to obtain a title.
Representative Davis, we can entertain your motion. Before, though, we do, I would like to state that before we pass this bill out, I want to get some testimony from Department of Law or some other legal source to give us some legal advice here. I think that's really all the tweeting we need to do is to create some flexibility here, make it an option that's available. But I would like for this committee to hear some testimony from somebody with a legal background that could tell us a little bit about ownership. And we'll reschedule this bill in the very near future. We've heard it extensively. I don't anticipate a lot more testimony.
That's fine. I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Davis. Representative Cott.
And as the subcommittee deals with this bill, I would entertain the thought of looking at the fee schedule. My mathematics for another source indicates that 2,500 registrations or titles at $45 would cost $112,000, which would seem to be more in line. I think we've gone a little bit overboard.
I would only submit that Ms. Hensley's testimony talked about the time that was involved in doing title searches, and you cannot go out and buy a title search on any property for $100. I don't think they would talk to you for less than $250, and we can get testimony to tell us, you know, where those costs are. But doing title search is it carries with it risk and liability, and it also does take a fair amount of time, particularly when many transactions have gone unreported, which is quite common.
I concur with that, Mr. Chairman. However, I also concur with what the Representative Oberg suggested, that you have an MSO, the title of search in that particular case is negligible, and we're passing on.
If you have an MSO,
and I don't think you can separate the classes. It's going to be, I think, constitutionally, we may have some problems. Saying you can do this for $10, but if you're this class, we're going to charge you $90 or $100. So I don't know what the answer is, but that needs to be certainly looked into.
It would be my opinion at this point that if a person could establish a bona fide ownership and have that recorded for posterity, that a $100 fee is certainly not unreasonable. I mean, people who buy and sell real property pay charges substantially higher than that and don't seem to object, because they don't have to do it. You know, you don't even have to record a deed. You can go down and buy a blank quit claim deed for 25 cents. And I have done that. Shows you how smart I am. If there, Mr. Lansbury, do you have any further comments?
Not at this moment.
Anyway, I will. We will keep in touch, and Representative Olberg and myself, and a representative of Representative Porter's office, and anybody else on the committee that's interested, and we'll line up a couple of witnesses for our next meeting, and I'll try to cram this into our schedule next week.
Thank
you very much. I appreciate everybody being here.
Mr. Chairman, if we're through with all the present business, I'd like to bring up a motion.
Yes, sir.
For our immediate consideration, to bring up from the debt file, the Black Hall, Senate Bill 128, for the purpose of discussing it and moving it. And if you recall, Senate Bill 128 dealt with the Office of Management and Budget. We provided in the bill that they would be responsible for follow-up action related to discrepancies that were discovered and recommendations made by legislative audit and budget.
I have no problem bringing it up for discussion if that's the committee's desire, Representative Codd. However, I'm not prepared that we move it at this time. I think that we're going to have to do considerable more investigation into the cost of this bill. I find the fiscal notes that we have before us are just, to me, do not seem to be realistic. But certainly, if you have points in the bill you'd like to discuss, so we do have some time left to us this morning, and it is an appropriate item of business.
Well, in light of not following through on the moving aspect of it, I think I'll withdraw the motion and use the extra 10 minutes that I have available to me to look over correspondence in the office.
One other item of business. We were working on trying to get a committee substitute for 392 before us this morning. I don't believe we've accomplished that. With the committee aid, we do have a new version of committee substitute for 392, version 0. Okay, I think I'll just hold that over to our next meeting. And did you? I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask to talk about it.
About 392?
Yeah.
Richard, I'm sorry, Richard. I just have a hard time remembering your name. I apologize. It really, we don't have a final draft before us, and I prefer that the committee have the final draft before we pass it out. We certainly can discuss it. The amendment is, as we discussed, and it allows exemptions for people who are outside receiving medical treatment, people who are outside accompanying a minor receiving medical treatment.
If I could clarify.
One additional item.
That handwritten note was just a clarification for the benefit of the committee about what is already in.
That's in the committee substitute.
The committee substitute is as it needs to be according to the department.
And
the changes that need to be made from the original one that came before you.
Okay, this committee substitute that's before us also has on page 4 lines.
They took out the other.
Oh.
Objection.
Oh, well, this just
this
came
is
to
fresh
us.
Off
okay,
the
I'm sorry. I thought I had revision. Okay, we do have the proper committee substitute for us, and we can take action if the committee so desires. At this time, as this bill is written, the only persons who would be eligible to receive a permanent fund dividend if they are absent from the state for 180 days a year for 5 years or more would be a member of the U.S. Congress from Alaska.
excuse Mr. Chairman, are we looking at work draft O of House Bill 392?
Dated 3394. Just handed out to us. Committee can take a few minutes to go through it. It is as per. We did have K before us. So for those of you that are into the cryptology, the sequence is KO. But anyway,
I've got
for those
two
of you
O's
not into cryptology,
okay.
Well,
Mr. Chairman, I have two O's with two different dates.
Uh-oh. 3-3 is the one that's the most current.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't have an O, a second O. We have before us revision O, dated 3394. I do not have a second O. I'm looking. I don't think I have a revision O.
The first one you had this morning was also labeled O, but it had a date of 2/24 on it.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. We have two revisions, O. The one that before us now is dated 3394.
And, Mr. Chairman, if I may, it does not restrict that allowable absence to a member of Congress.
Okay, go to page 5.
Page 5, line 8. It allows absences under Category 7 through 9. Which I think they cover 9 did in the previous version.
Yes, and set 9 is serving as a member of the United States Congress. So we are just clarifying that absences under 7 through 9, which include serving as a member of a Congress, accompanying a minor for medical treatment, or receiving medical treatment, is a waiver of the 5-year neat, clean line.
I thought I heard you say it was to be limited to members of Congress.
No,
excuse
I'm sorry.
Me.
Sorry, I must have misspoke, because I'm sure you heard correctly.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's where we heard it, but I don't know what you meant.
All right.
I think.
Okay. Move it.
Okay, is there a motion to move committee substitute for House Bill 392?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee move committee substitute for House Bill number 392, State Affairs, individual recommendations.
Could we adopt this committee substitute first?
Yes. Prior to that, we should adopt a committee substitute for House Bill 392, State Affairs.
Version O, dated 3394.
Version O, dated 3394, written by Cook.
Would the committee secretary call the roll? Yes.
Representative
Dean
Cutt.
No.
Representative Fran Ullman. Representative Betty Davis. Representative Gary Davis.
Yes.
Representative
Jerry Sanders.
Show.
I'm sorry, Representative Sanders, could you repeat that?
Yes.
Was that a yay or a nay?
Yes. Show.
Representative Carly Olberg.
Yes.
And House Bill 392, committee substitute, version 0, dated 3394, has been adopted. Representative Davis, would you like to make your motion?
Yes, I move that we move committee substitute for House Bill 392, State Affairs, to individual recommendations.
Would the committee secretary call the roll?
Representative Harley Olberg.
Yes.
Representative Jerry Sanders.
Yes.
Representative Gary Davis.
Yes.
Representative Betty Davis. Representative Fran Ullman. Representative Pete Cutt.
Yes.
Representative Albizzi.
Yes. And I'm not aware of any other. Is there any other business to come before the House State Affairs Committee today?
None, Mr. Chair.
Hearing none, we stand adjourned at 9:54.